Hi, this is Lee Keckner, and you're listening to Storyworthy.
Welcome to the Storyworthy Podcast. Here are your hosts, Christine Blackburn and Hannah Spinney.
Welcome to Storyworthy. I am Christine Blackburn, and I'm here with
Hannah Spinney, and we're coming to you from the Graceland Wedding Chapel in Las Vegas, where you can have an Elvis wedding.
That would be terrific, I think.
This actually may happen, too. This may end up being my wedding.
You think so?
Might be an Elvis wedding, because Sherry seems to like the idea.
You're still engaged.
Yes, still engaged. It's been 28 years, and I feel that at some point I will just have to pull the trigger. But see, she originally wanted to do this, and I was like, well, no, I never thought I'd get married, so if I'm going to get married, I might as well have a big wedding where people are forced to bring me presents. Well, it turns out that's really expensive, so we may end up going with Elvis. And actually, looking at this website, it's really, not the website, because we're actually here. We're here inside the wedding chapel, of course.
Right, at Graceland,
studio.
Right.
Yes.
But do you feel it'll be making a mockery at all, Hannes, of marriage? I'm just asking.
Not as much as gay marriage is. Oh, no, I didn't. Yes. See, I don't know.
What does that mean?
That means I don't think it's possible to make a mockery of marriage. Like, how is that even possible? Like, how is anybody else's marriage, say, your gay marriage for your Chick-fil-A people, or you're, like, being married by Elvis? It's like,
what's the difference? In other words, why do you think your marriage is any more sacred than anybody else's?
Right.
So you're this religion, and you're this religion, and you have no religion, and somehow you're more important.
Right.
Why?
Haven't you been married twice by religious people?
Yes, I have been. But neither of them are. No, wait. No, one of them was a religious one. One person I got married by was called the Justice of the Peace. We found him in the phone book.
Okay.
And then the second one was a minister at my ex's mother's church. It was very important for her and to have the church and this particular guy. And so I said, and it was in Ohio and I lived here in LA, and I said, you know what? I'll get the dress. Just tell me where to be, you know, and I'll go there.
Right.
And that's what I did.
Yeah. And it's like, either the marriage is, you know, either marriage is sacred to you or it's not sacred to you. And it doesn't matter who does it
or where
or
when
you're marrying.
All right.
Or
and the reason why we're talking about this,
to get married to a gay man in a Chick-fil-A by a gay Elvis. I think that would be.
And then shakes for all.
Well, let's not go crazy. How much money am I already spending? I have to find a gay Elvis.
All right. The reason why Hannes is talking about all this wedding talk is because our topic tonight, How I Met My Husband. How I Met My Husband. That's the name of the topic, Hannes. And our guest, Lee Keckner.
Lee Keckner. I wonder what her maiden name was. Perhaps I will find out later.
That's a good question. You could ask her that.
All right, let me just write that down.
Would you
in
do
my
that?
Notebook right
well,
here.
She's going to have a story for us, I know, how she met her husband. Let me tell you this. My first husband I met in college, I was a little 19-year-old college student, and he was the guitar player in the campus bar. Isn't
well, this
that
is obviously destined to work.
And he was 31. Isn't that disgusting? I was 19. I was a teenager. Of course, I look at him. Don't laugh. Joe Slepsky, our producer, is laughing at me, Hannes. You know what he's laughing
he's
at?
He's writing the word whore with his
he's
hand
laughing
in
at
the
my,
air.
My pain and my heartache. That's not funny.
Well, what, yeah,
Here's
wait,
this
wait, wait.
Guy, though,
well, let me ask you this. You're 19.
Me.
How long until you marry him?
I didn't marry him until I was 25.
Oh.
But
okay,
we were divorced
then,
a year after that.
Right.
Because he got another girl pregnant. But that's not, you know, I'm flexible, but not that flexible.
But when apparently she is. Hey-o!
But I was 19 and he's 31. And so he's taking me out. I remember he took me out to Red Lobster for dinner. And I thought that was just amazing.
Yeah.
Because we had strawberry daiquiris and popcorn shrimp. And like he knew things I didn't know.
Right.
You know, about lobster and shrimp.
Yeah, for instance, that they live in the sea. You were like, what?
My second husband, yeah, you know what he used to do, that first husband? He would order the strawberry daiquiri or the wine, but I didn't have ID. And then he would let me drink out of his cup. You know what I mean?
Was it a sippy cup? Because this is
That's
starting
exactly
to get pretty
right.
sick.
And he had a waterbed, which was, you know, whatever
yeah.
that is. And he had an aquarium in his room. So it went something like this. Hey, you want to check out my aquarium? It's in my room. You got to get just alongside the bed here. Just sit right there. Whoa. And now you're on the water bed.
Your hips are undulating. What?
And then I married him. Shocking. That didn't work.
The thing that shocks me about you marrying him is that I didn't realize there was such a long gestation period. So it's like 6 years of dating.
No, we didn't. We only dated about a year and a half. Then I went to Colorado, dated around there, came back.
Came back to the top of the order.
We were together like maybe 5 years, but it was all very, you know.
Yeah.
Okay,
let's move on to
second marriage.
Second better husband.
I meet him in a coffee shop in the Glendale area. You're familiar with this area?
Sure. Oddly enough, he was not Armenian.
Not Armenian.
Right.
A nice guy. Still a good guy. A nice guy.
Sure.
And we met doing stand-up comedy because he was talking about Pittsburgh, and I'm from Pittsburgh. And so we go back and forth and chat. And then turns out we're neighbors.
Right.
We were literally next door neighbors across the street. So then we started going to gigs together and became really good friends. And then we got married.
And then you had a beautiful child.
And we had a beautiful child.
And divorce, which is the important part.
Is that important?
That's the child. That's the most important part.
Oh, the child part. I thought you said the divorce part.
No, the divorce part is
somebody said to me the other day.
Part of the story.
Somebody said to me the other day, this girl named Cynthia I haven't talked to in years. And she says, don't you feel a little bit bad about being divorced twice? I'm like, not until you just fucking said that.
Right, Cynthia, don't you feel bad with my foot stuck in your crotch?
Yeah, what the hell is that supposed to mean?
Yeah.
I mean, what would you, you know, in other words, like, how could you say that to somebody if you don't know their situation? It's so personal, isn't it?
Well, yeah, how do you feel? You know, that's like saying, that's just a mind-boggling, stupid thing to say. It's like, oh, don't you feel bad, having gotten an inner ear infection? You know, only the weak get inner ear infections. Like, okay.
All right, you guys. Lee Koechner's here. She has a story about how she met her husband, and we're going to hear that next. Hey, wait, Hannes. You know what we forgot to talk about?
Amazon.com?
That's what I'm talking about.
You go to our website, Storyworthy Podcast or Storyworthy.com, and you just click on the Amazon ad. You buy the usual stuff. As always, your Civil War pornography, your perhaps a wheel. I believe, did you buy this wheel on Amazon.com?
No, Hannes. I got the Storyworthy Wheel of Truth from Riverside Promo Wheels. I sold my gold to get this wheel.
That's right. Riverside Promo Wheels, I forgot.
Ladies and gentlemen, Amazon.com. If you want to shop through Amazon,
if you want a book about how to open a meth lab in Riverside, you go to Riverside.com.
You go through our website, StoryworthyPodcast.com. You help us. You also go to the Twitter and the Facebook and everybody else, and we all know.
And leave us a review on iTunes. If you can't give us money, if you can't buy things, just leave us a review. It's free. It takes nothing but your time.
Yeah, it really helps us out, actually. All right, you guys, wherever you are, please stay put because Lee Koechner is on her way here.
Storyworthy tweets. So join us on Twitter and be our friend on Facebook.
Now that we've left the Elvis Wedding Chapel, we are down the street at the Excalibur, at the Excalibur Buffet, where you can pay one price and eat all day.
You know what I like at the Excalibur, Hannes? They have another buffet called it's called Sir Lancelot of Pasta.
Yeah.
That's a good restaurant, Sir Lancelot of Pasta.
Sure, there's nothing that says good pasta to me like a burning desert.
I like to watch the guys at Excalibur, like when the employees are on break, because even the men wear like tights and these ridiculous outfits, and they've got like, you know, their masks, their big, you know, the knights in shining armor masks over their head, and they're in the back having a smoke.
Right, it's just like Star Trek alley down at Paramount, where there's like a Klingon on his iPhone. He's like, I need dental insurance. Awesome.
Ah, that's pretty funny. All right, you guys, Lee Koechner's here. Lee Koechner, Hannes, here's an accomplished woman.
Yeah.
Here's a woman who's done a lot.
Okay,
let's
hear it. I don't believe you. Tell me more.
Here's a woman who can bring home the bacon and then fry it up in a pan, I believe they call it.
Wow. That's
maybe not.
A very topical reference for 1963 when that song was written.
Or if you're watching Maude in the mid-70s.
That's Maude.
Lee Koechner, folks. She hosts a talk show for EverydayFamily.com. That's a lot of fun. She also is on Today in LA on NBC every single Monday. She does a parenting segment on that. And she also writes a popular blog called Absolutely. Get it, Hannes? Absolutely. You see how that ended?
So that's first clever. Absolute,
and then not just Lee, L-Y, but as long as we're going Lee, let's go L-E-I-G-H.
Right. Absolutely. Right. It's the complicated spelling of Lee.
Exactly.
I can sympathize with that because I have the weird name that is spelled and nobody knows what it is.
I know, Hannes. People, honestly, like they respond right to our iTunes page or whatever, where your name is right above
and then
they spell your name wrong.
Yeah, my name is actually above their name in bold type, and then they spell my name one
heinous.
Half an inch below,
or
and
hummus.
They spell it completely wrong.
Sometimes.
Hummus, heinous, honus.
Hummus. Lee Keckner, folks, she's also the creator of My Backyard Talk Show, and that won a Host Your Own Show contest on the OWN Network. And you know why I know this, Hannes?
Tell me why.
Because I also submitted for that contest.
Did you win?
I did not win. Lee Keckner won.
Oh, that's too bad.
That's all right. She won. If I didn't win,
I'm
glad she
won.
Is
this all part of an elaborate scheme to get even with her? Is she even getting out of here alive?
Lee Keckner. She's also in the middle of writing a memoir about her emotional journey with gestational surrogacy that led to the birth of four of her beautiful children. She has five. And Lee is happily married to actor David Keckner. We're going to hear all about that because her topic tonight, as I said, is How I Met My Husband.
I want to hear. This might be perhaps the sequel to the show How I Met Your Mother.
I think that's an idea. You can find her, folks, at absolutelyleigh.com. Ladies and gentlemen, wherever you are, please put your hands together for Lee Keckner.
I would like to talk a little bit about how I met my husband. I lived in Los Angeles for 7 years, and I was a real wild ass. I liked to party a lot and make out, and I had down... actually picking up and making out and getting drunk at bars down so hardcore that was my life. And that is what I enjoyed. I didn't like enjoying getting to know people. I didn't really want to talk. I just wanted to make out. So I would work and make out. And then when I hit 30, I was like, I kind of feel like I want to get married and have kids. And so I thought maybe I should stop just making out with people in bars. And maybe I should try and act like a lady and go on some dates. So I went on a couple dates. So I went on maybe 5 dates. And I thought to myself, the first person that asks me on a date, I'm going to say yes. And I'm going to go on a date and I'm not going to have sex. I'm just going to be like a normal person who wants to find their husband. So the first guy that asked me, you want to go on a date? I was like, of course I do. And I didn't want to at all. And it was a horrific date. And for 2 hours, I wanted to stab myself in the eyes with my fork that I was eating my pasta with no appetite, wondering why the hell I was there. And then that went on and on for a few times. And then I was like, all right. And I went to my higher power. And I don't care who your higher power is. And I'm not like a big preacher on that. But I go to mine sometimes when I'm stuck in a corner and I want to get the hell out. And the way I'm doing it by myself isn't working. So I went to God and I was like, hey, God, making out and getting drunk and making out isn't working. And having a lot of sex with people that I don't care about isn't working. And going on dates and trying isn't working. I need some help. And what I'm asking for is a guy who's tall, who's smart, who's funny and kind-hearted. And I was actually who's smarter than me. I'm not really greatly smart, but I wanted somebody like my dad who could teach me a lot of stuff because I didn't really like to read or anything. So anyway, I got really specific and I said, and God, when I meet him, I need a big red arrow that says this is him so I don't drink too much or act like an ass and chase him off. So that was my game plan, and it was right before Christmas in 96, and I flew home to Kansas to see my parents, and I went with my brother Patrick, who lives here in Hollywood, and we flew home, and we did Christmas, and we were going back to Los Angeles for Christmas Eve, and we were sitting in the airport, and I had out, I usually say my novel, but since my husband might be listening, I had out my People magazine, and I was reading it, and I saw Dave walk into the airport terminal in Kansas. And I looked over and I saw a tall guy with a bald head and broad shoulders and a really cool leather jacket and cool boots. And I was like, I like everything about how that guy looks, everything about him. And I went back to my magazine and my brother Patrick goes, oh my gosh. And it was Vanguard, which was the only airline that was like Southwest that flew from Kansas to LA, the only one that flew direct. And so my husband was in line to get his number, and he was kind of really late, and Pat and I were first, so we had AIDS, and we were sitting down, and Pat goes, oh my gosh, Lee, and hit me and pointed behind him, do you know Dave Keckner? And I looked at him, and I was like, No, but I was thinking like Kansas State University or right. Overland Park, Kansas, my high school. And I go, no, I don't know him. But I was like, how funny that that's a guy I think is cute. And my brother goes, why are you in Kansas? And he's like, I'm from Missouri. I came home to see my folks. And he's like, why are you flying to LA and not New York? Because my brother's a crazy SNL fan. And he's never missed an episode. And my husband was on SNL that year. So Pat recognized him from that. I don't watch that show. So Patrick was like, Dave Koechner. And they had this big conversation. And Dave went and got his number and sat kind of over there away from us. And then my brother goes, Lee, do you have any celebrities coming to your New Year's Eve party? And I said, no. But I actually usually had like a B or C list person, like Scott Baio. Or one time I had Charles Barkley, and that was kind of back in his heyday. That was a fun one. So I would always have someone. I said, no, actually, I don't. He goes, well, go ask Dave. He's like, you know, go get Dave. And I was like, all right. So I took my business card, and on the back, I was working in post-production. I put festive attire, 830, my address. And I walked over and said, excuse me, Dave. Patrick said I should invite you to my New Year's Eve party. And Dave was like, and Patrick is your, and I go, he's my brother. He goes, oh, yeah, I'll be at your party. And I gave him my card, and I noticed his mouth pulls down in the corner. And I thought, wow, that must be hard to live with that. I bet he's had a stroke. So I said, you know, I wanted to tell you that I noticed your mouth pulls down, and you should totally not be self-conscious about that. It's like you had a stroke, but I think it's darling. I like that look. And then Dave said, I haven't had a stroke. And I said, all right, well, it was great to meet you. I'm going to go back by Patrick. And so we went and got on the airplane and sat down. And my brother saved him a seat because he was like last coming on the plane and we had an open seat between us. And my brother's like, Dave, back here. And Dave looked and was like, I'm going to sit by a fan for 3.5 hours. Well, his sister's pretty cute. All right, I'll go. So he sat in between. No, he sat on the end and Patrick was in the middle and I was inside. And as soon as we got on, and Dave and I kind of looked at each other and started talking over Patrick. And as we were talking, I felt 100% all of me, oh my gosh, it's you. You're my husband. Oh my gosh. Like I could feel it. I could see in his eyeballs. I liked everything about him. I was like, it's Patrick. And so I went back to my magazine, not quite knowing what to do because I cared. Normally I just drank a lot and made out. So I was just like, oh my gosh. And so I was looking at my magazine and we kept kind of talking over and Patrick goes, Dave, are you attracted to my sister? He goes, because I've never seen her act this way. He goes, buddy, you're going to be around for a long time. And I was like, that was my big arrow. I'm not going to drink. And so I totally knew it was my husband. And then my brother said, this is your husband. And we talked the rest of the flight. And then my husband, Dave, said, Patrick, would you switch seats with me so I could sit by your lovely sister? And he did. And we talked the whole way. And when we landed, Patrick said, so Dave, how are you getting home? And he said, I'm taking a cab because he was still kind of in the New York state of mind. And Pat goes, we'll drive you. So I had driven my Jetta. So I dropped Pat off. And as we went up Laurel Canyon, we passed this restaurant that people go to and eat salads and have babies. And he goes, we're going to eat there one day. And I said, oh, I thought, I know we are because you're my husband. So when we dropped him off, he kissed my hand or my forehead. That was something that was so sweet. And the next day I went to work and I have really severe ADD and I couldn't remember his name. And I was like, I met the hottest guy on the plane. I'm fucking, oh, he's my husband. I know. And the girl, what's his name? I was like, I don't know. So we were calling him Airplane. So then the receptionist answered and she's like, it's Airplane. And I got the phone and he said, I just wanted to tell you how grateful I am I was on that flight. And I said, me too. And he said, I look forward to your party tomorrow night. And he showed up and we were together ever since. And that's how I met my husband.
That's like a fairy tale.
It was an answered prayer, like so crazy that you can't believe it could really be answered like that.
Did he come to your New Year's Eve party?
He came really late because he had gone to two ones before that. And he was partying really hardcore with his friend. And every time the door opened, I looked really fresh and glistening and, you know, sparkly.
Did he get there before midnight?
No, he got there after midnight. And I was wasted and my makeup was smeared, but we partied till about 3 or 4. And then I said, well, do you just want to sleep here? Cause his friend left, but we're not making out because I'm like trying to make him my husband. I was like, I'm not making out with you. And so we just laid in bed and talked and then ate breakfast and I drove him home in the morning.
And that's the way it went down.
Yeah.
And then when did you see him after that?
I think I saw him the next night.
So that was like January 1st.
Did you make out with him then?
Yeah. Huh? You know what I did? Huh? I just read the rules because I was pretty desperate here. Yeah. I was 31 and I wanted to have a bunch of kids.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I read the rules and it said, wait 3 times to have sex. So I did.
Three times?
Yeah,
and I counted. That was the rule? Only 3 times?
And I don't even think I counted New Year's Eve. No, 3 times. You think three times?
Really? Because I think that's a short period of time to have sex after just three times you see him.
Okay.
So you saw him in the airport, New Year's Eve,
no,
and then the next.
No, I didn't count New Year's Eve because
he didn't
came
count
late.
The airport
no, I was pissed. Okay. I didn't count
say
the airport.
Anything in the rules about not asking someone if they had a stroke? Was that? Was
no, I did not read that. I thought hilarious. I should bring some of my own fresh into it, yeah. Not just what the rules told me.
That's
that was
like
just my own
stepping
fresh.
Into like saying, "Are you pregnant?" to a woman or something who's not pregnant.
I think that that's worse, the pregnant thing. But
why
it was,
would you even think? I mean, I understand like if somebody has their mouth pulling down, but a stroke is like really specific.
Why else do people's mouths like Bell's
He's
palsy
from
or
Missouri.
A stroke?
I picked that's everybody in Missouri
that.
when they're born, they pull on their mouth. So it's like say Missouri.
Yes, they
that's
do not pull them out with the clamp. They get an actual hook.
Now, he
they
doesn't barbecue use a tongs. He doesn't have a drool bucket or anything.
No,
does he?
It's no. actually super hot. It's actually really darling and
a
cool
character. And now it's
characters. Okay. Yeah, I liked it from the get-go. I just thought if he's feeling at all self-conscious, I just really want
him
to
be at
ease.
I'm going to let his guard down now.
Yeah, I want to tell him. I think it's hot. Like if you're sitting there thinking, is she noticing my pull down? Does she know I had a stroke? Yeah, I did. I
is
don't
that
care.
What it's called, a pull down?
That's what I just called it. Wow. I don't know the technical name.
Is that the technical name?
No.
If you have a stroke, you want to tell the person
with
to smile.
Pull down.
Tell the person to smile, right? And there's some signs of a stroke you're supposed to look for in someone.
Yeah. So I thought he had that. And
now,
I didn't
is your
care.
Brother Patrick, he must have been so happy you guys hooked up then.
Yeah, he was happy because he is a, can you say F words on this?
He's a star fucker.
Oh
fucking
my
a,
gosh.
That's right.
Your
fuck
brother's
it, yeah.
a star fucker?
Well, he gets like overexcited about stuff like that.
Was it his
so
People
he's a,
magazine
he's a star
or was it yours?
Premature ejaculator
it was,
is what he
it was mine.
It was your people.
Yeah.
Oh gosh, Hannes.
I'm
easy.
Sorry, Hannes.
Oh, I'm sorry. Star fucker was okay, but I went too far.
Well, yeah, I don't think he'd get mad at that, but if you said that he pre-ejaculated, he would probably get super pissed.
So after that.
Really? He's still single and making out with ladies. Like he wants them to think he's. Full man.
That he can stay hold out for more than 3 seconds.
Yeah,
wow.
Well,
that's important to him.
Ever since the stroke, he can't really hold out.
No, that's my husband. The other one's my
brother.
Oh,
sorry, I got it mixed up. Okay.
Yeah.
So since the New Year's Eve party, then how much longer went by before you got married?
Oh, that's a great question because we had some. You know, I knew when I met him. So every day to me felt like a year. I was like, aww. I'm 31, dude. Let's do it.
Yeah.
Propose to me. Every time we went to do anything, everyone was like, this is the weekend.
He's going
to
do it.
And then it wouldn't happen.
Yeah.
And then one time, 5 months in, we went to some place for something. And we were sitting like on a mountain watching the sunset. I was like, and everyone was like, this is it.
Yeah.
So I was like, I can't believe it's happening right now. I'm a big moment of my life. And Dave's like, I have to go to the bathroom. I was like, okay. And he went to go to the bathroom. And I was like, oh my gosh, he's actually peeing. And what a great cover. And he comes back and sits down and we have like another beer or wine.
Yeah.
He's like, all right, let's go. I was like,
what about the?
I was so angry that I didn't talk to him that night or the whole ride home.
So it was
I
all
was
in
so
your
pissed.
Head. He never.
I knew it was him. And I was like, seriously, let's just get on with this. What's the big wait for?
So then what?
But I was trying not to push him because I didn't want to scare him away and go, why aren't we getting married? Because right. How gross. So instead I did it inside my own body and it was just mean to him. So he had called my sister Amy and said, I'm going to propose to Lee. And then we had this big fight on this mountain and I didn't talk to him the whole way home. And he called her up and said, I take it back. She's completely crazy.
Oh.
And so then my sister Amy called me and she was, you know, you're so focused on this. I'm going to suggest something to you. Why don't you just tell him I need a break? Like, why don't you take a 1 week break for yourself? Get resituated here and focus on just being with him and cut out the stuff. I was like, all right. All right, so I called him and I said, I'd like to take a break. And Dave said, yeah, I think that sounds great. I think, I'm up for a break. And I was like freaked out that we're over. So I said, all right, great. So I'll talk to you in a week. He goes, great. So the first day went by and I was like, I think I just ruined something that was meant to be. Like, this was not a good idea. And the second day went by and he called me at work. And he goes, hey, I've been having some pretty rough days and I didn't know what was going on. And I was trying to figure it out. And then I just realized I can't live without you.
Aww.
And I was like, oh my gosh. Oh, yeah. You know, whatever. And then I said, well, we still have 4 more days. So I'll talk to you then.
And
I stuck to the 7 days and he proposed to me like 5 days later. So,
oh my gosh.
Seriously, ladies.
You are tough.
Get tough.
But
risk
this is
it.
Like, this is like that book, The Rules.
Well, I'm going to rewrite that thing. I'm going to rewrite it.
Well, it's about time because honestly, I think the rules should be updated at least every 12 or 15 years.
Yeah, because that was 15 years ago.
Right.
So, yeah.
So what would you tell ladies then at that point? You would say, I did say I'd wait a week, so what would you say?
Well, I think anytime you're crazy over-focused on something, you're out of whack. You know, the woman has to like step back and get herself together. But I also think if you're in a relationship and it's not moving, you have to move forward. And if it goes away, it's not meant to be. And if it comes back strong.
I've heard that somewhere before.
Well, that's Woody, yes. In Annie Hall, as Woody Allen once said, a relationship is like a shock. And if you, it's a terrible Woody Allen impression. And shark has to move forward or it dies. And I think what we have on our hands is a dead shark. And that's how
I was focusing so hard on the impression. I didn't even get the message.
That's okay. It was not even, it was such a bad impression that I think.
With that voice.
He's talking about sharks that have to have water moving through their gills, I think is what he's saying. The sharks have to move forward or they're going to die.
You were saying shark, not shock?
No, he was saying shark.
That's how bad the impression was. You actually thought that I was doing.
Let me see.
By the way, I would just like to point out that both you ladies were quite movingly, like, on the verge of tears in that story, which is nice. And all three of the men in this crowd were just looking at the fan up at the ceiling. Like,
that makes me
pissed.
Are
they done with the emotional stuff yet?
Well, you know how women are, Hannes. And a lot of women really, really want the marriage, the kids, the whole thing. I mean, who wouldn't want that? I wanted that.
Right, oh, my gosh. Sometimes,
I still want that. You know what you want? You want somebody to adore you. That's what you want. Yes.
And you know what is funny is that I don't know if he talked about me because I have. I don't know.
Terrible thing.
But he told us everything.
No, he likes me so much and he's so nice to me. And I'm like, he's the nice one and I'm kind of mean and he's very romantic and I'm forgetful. But he likes me so much that I am with him forever.
Oh,
like
my
to know
gosh.
That somebody loves me that much, even when we fight and
that
I get pissed off and I want to leave and I want to drink and punch my hand.
I remember he did tell the story about painting. He is the high school in his hometown. He painted the bridge and then he would just throw away. And then I came back to the hotel room and my wife said I was crazy. But now that you're talking about that, I can't imagine you weren't like, what the fuck is the matter with you? You're a grown man. You're a father. Why are you going out in the middle of the night to spray paint a thing and fall in a ditch and bloody your head?
Why are you bleeding in bed? And he said, I got nervous when I thought I saw headlights and I ran and fell in a ditch in the dark, and I was like, you're a loser.
This is your
get out of my bed.
That's the part he left out.
Get out of my bed.
This is your husband vandalizing a bridge because this is what they did every year in his high school. This is what they did.
But no one, his friends, wanted to do it with him. I don't know if he told that story.
Yeah,
he dragged one guy who
was
freezing.
Right. They all live there, and they're like,
we have no interest in this.
The list of suspects is going to be very long, very short. It's just people who graduated from that high school in 1980. So it's like if they live there,
like
they're not
four
going
people.
For it. Yeah, it's like four people. So,
and when we passed the bridge for his mom's 80th birthday a month ago, he double took, craned his head back to see if they painted over it. Did they paint over it?
80 rolls, did it in.
And did you tell me he's a loser then too?
I just said you disappoint me.
What? You disappoint me. I'll be in your life forever, but you still disappoint me.
That embarrassing.
I will be disappointing you into the grave.
Mouth pulled down cool.
What are the pet names you call your husband besides stroke victim? What else do you call him?
Loser, obvious.
Besides loser and disappointer, I call him Babe. Wow.
Babe is so cute because Babe is very high schoolish, isn't it?
Hey,
it's like very sweet.
Yeah.
It's very innocent.
To say that I call him that sounded weird, but yeah, I'll say, hey, Babe. I don't do a lot of pet names.
Honey, a lot of honey. Hey, honey.
Oh, honey, yeah.
Honey, a lot of honey.
Yeah.
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 Sweetheart.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, actor guy.
Schnookums.
I don't pay a lot of attention.
Champ kind.
Do
you ever call him just call him Champ?
I call him Champ a lot.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
What's your
hot.
Biggest pet peeve about your husband?
I have a few. That when he eats anything, the noise he makes, he chews too fast and it clicks,
right.
And I have to leave the room.
Right.
How when we drive and I say make a right, he goes left because his brain works like that. And
is
then
he dyslexic?
No, I think he just has something like really bad ADD or however it affects him opposite way.
Okay, what else?
Well, no, if you say turn right, if he turns right, it's not funny. If he turns left, it's funny.
And then I think you're not listening to me. And I'm like, you're not listening to me. I'm so fucking pissed off right now. Like, I get really mad.
Does he do the things like, you know, he doesn't leave the keys in the right place or he doesn't put water in the coffee cup after he's done pouring the coffee out or like little stuff like that?
No, it's more about noises and me not feeling heard. But he tells me, you only tell me partial things. You don't start at the front of the story. So I don't know what the hell you're talking about. So I shake my head. And then when you're like, what do you think about her? He's like, who? And you say, you're not listening.
Because
you didn't say who. You said that girl.
You were in the middle of the conversation.
Yeah, I know somebody like that who has conversations in their head and you're only in on the middle part of it.
Yeah.
What's it like when he is shooting? Because, you know, an actor's schedule can be just grueling. And a lot of times he's probably out of town, right?
Yeah. I think that people are like, is that really hard? And I'm like, no, because it's our life.
It's just what you're used to?
It's just what I'm used to.
And you know that it's for a finite period of time.
Yeah.
He's going to have to jam on this movie for 6 weeks.
I know if he goes on a movie for 6 weeks or 8 weeks, it means Mama's gonna get some massages when he gets home. It means we might go on a vacation.
Yeah.
We might one day have a bigger house.
Right.
So I am all about him working. And when he leaves for a long period of time, I buck up Sailor and do it.
And you, but you've never been an actress, right?
No, I would say more of a personality without a big stage. And now I'm kind of stepping onto a few small platforms.
But more the hosting is really what you're interested in.
Yeah, no, it's more about, I have gotten these hosting jobs, but it's more about empowering women to kick it.
Right.
And not be stuck. And not fall into this. This is what I have to do, and this is my role, and this is like now.
Okay, so you do. You have these one segment. You have so much online. I'm telling you, I look up Lee Keckner, and there's just stuff everywhere, you guys. It's just the internet is filthy with the Lee Keckner. And so you have this one little section on hooplaha.com, called No Mundane Moments: How to Make Mundane Tasks Fun. Tell me about that.
Yeah. So this new website said, would you do videos for us? I said, yeah, I'd like to do one about no mundane moments. It's like the stuff you have to do every day, how to enjoy it fresh every time with little twists, like putting on flowers or tutus or whatever for my exercise class, or dressing tricked out to Target, or, you know, whatever it is that you have to do every day, doing it not in this, I have to do this again. I'm like, I get to fucking do this again. Who will I meet? Who might I make out with? I don't say that anymore. But connect
with. That's what I say every time I go to Target.
Or,
you, there is a segment of you singing in the grocery store.
Yeah.
Now, everybody thinks you're crazy in that video. I think that everybody's looking at you like there's a lady going through the grocery store doing a musical number.
I think they're actually probably watching it masturbating because it's sexy.
Well, you
I don't think there's anything crazy about it.
You have a good voice.
Thank you.
And so how did you, you always been a singer or
no.
is just something you have?
I have a brother who's a year older, Patrick, in the airport, who's a real singer, and my little sister who is. And I'm the butt of the joke. They're like, hey, why don't you harmonize with us, Lee? And I'm like, leave me alone.
You have a beautiful voice.
That makes me feel good.
No,
thank
really.
You.
I could hear it. Mm. And so if you were to be a host, now you say you're empowering women. So
you
that
know,
could
I
be-
feel like I am Richard Simmons, the modern day, but not for heavy gals, for women. It's like, I want to take women out like you right now in that darling tutu and skip through the streets and have fun.
I loved your style. You have a real style, really. Tutus and pearls. That's why I wore them tonight, because I love that style.
I like everything a little bit too much.
Can we go
much.
Back to the crying,
yeah,
please?
Yeah, let's cry. Okay. While you look up at the fan.
Let me ask you this. If you were to interview people, you said, okay, regular women, empower women. It sounds very Oprah-ish.
I know. It's not,
what about celebrities versus non-celebrities? Are you interested in one or the other?
I think you have to interview celebrities to get eyeballs on you, but I would rather talk to regular people.
Because when you interview celebrities, I have one example. I interviewed John Travolta, but the list was very specific.
I love him.
I love him too. And you know, we met my
call
time.
Did you interview him when he was cute and young, or now with his old
weird
hair?
I interviewed him about 6 years ago.
Awesome.
For Ladder 49 and at Sunset Gower Studios, and my call time was 2 a.m., and our interview started at 3 a.m. because he likes to keep the hours that L. Ron Hubbard kept, which was in the middle of the night.
Oh,
he's a Scientologist.
So it's just plain old crazy.
It was super crazy.
Well,
so we meet at 3 a.m.
You...
and yeah. I park my Subaru right by his black Thunderbird. And it was a very cool car with like half windows. Very cool. I knew it was his. And I go into the studio. And the thing is, I had a list of questions and I had to ask those questions. And I could not stray from that list. So in other words... I mean, he was really kind to me. And
did he seem, and I know this is cliche and everyone talks about it, but I'm so curious in person him, if he seemed gay.
No.
He seemed like a man.
I mean, he seemed like a man. He gave me a big hug and it was a manly hug and he was super hot.
Because everyone talks about that. They, you know,
I have four sisters. He's super hot.
Oh, that's awesome.
And I have four sisters and they all would have just jumped on him.
That's awesome.
But he could be gay. I mean, I know other very masculine men that are gay.
He could be a great actor, but
four
didn't
sisters.
He like,
I do.
He had like five people for his hair.
He had four or five people for his hair. They had a palette. Yes. They had a palette with different colors of brown and black and they would, you know, paint in his hairline and then he would look.
That's a little bit gay.
He would go around the other side and look at the monitor and he would say, you see that that's why I always do the check-in, because you don't see everything I see. Whatever.
Did you want to make out with him though after he did
I
that?
I would have in a minute.
Still?
Yeah, I would have. Yeah, okay. I would have. And he also took his shirt off and then changed his shirt in
front
of me.
How did he look in his midsection?
Yeah. Good. At that time.
Because I just watched him in Greece with my kids the other night and got this like,
I can't wait to
when
show my daughter Greece.
Faces.
Yeah.
Oh.
He was like 23 in that, right?
So
he was so
hot.
Young. I can't wait for my daughter. She's going to love Greece.
Oh, I love Greece.
You used to be a scuba instructor.
Yes. Yeah, I taught scuba diving for Club Med.
Is it like a Patty certified then?
I was actually Patty and Nowy. I don't mean to brag.
No, brag.
But I did both certifications.
It's okay. No one knows what that is, so feel
right?
free.
Yeah. What's the deepest dive you've ever done?
You know, one time I went with some super qualified instructors because it's not about going deep. The deeper you go, the less you see. The stuff like 60 feet and above is where the light's hitting and mm-hmm. there's fish mm-hmm. and crazy beauty. So yeah, I went about like probably 100 and something. But you get nitrogen narcosis and you get really effed up and you can lose bearings and die. So I went with guys who saw me and I was like, and then I went back up.
She made really crazy eyes, you guys. I did. You don't see that right now, but there was crazy eyes.
Podcast gold.
She had the bends.
Can we take a picture of that and post it?
She just had the bends and she went floating up.
Right.
Scuba diving is very personal, isn't it?
It's like... I would compare it to the closest you could be to walking on the moon without walking on the moon.
Like you cannot you can't talk somebody into going scuba diving. Like I could talk you into playing tennis with me. Hey man, we'll just hit it back and forth and we'll do the thing and it doesn't matter.
Yeah, but I'd like to do that by the way.
If you don't want to scuba dive, nobody's going to make you do that.
No, Dave tried to do it when we got married. He wanted to dive with me, but he got claustrophobic in the mask and going under and his ears hurt.
Also, he displaced the entire ocean because he's a big guy.
And his mouth was pulled down while he was sleeping.
They couldn't get a regulator in his mouth.
Fall out of the regulator, right? And it's like, and then, you know, Charlie Tuna would come by. He's like, hey, Strokey. Yeah,
it was not
because he was a cartoon fish.
You make me laugh. No, but I think the scuba diving is very interesting. Would you like to see if you're going to try to encourage your children in that direction?
Well, my husband takes, at 10 years old, he takes each kid to New York. So he took our first son by themselves. And Margo's going in 2 weeks with Dave to New York. And I thought, I want to get in on this trip action by myself with one kid. Heaven. So I've decided at 15, I'm going to go somewhere tropical and take him on just a beginner scuba dive.
Yeah, right. And I've gone on like four, maybe even five dives, and I've dived in some beautiful places in the Caribbean and in Hawaii and in the Great Barrier Reef, but I've always went with an instructor.
Yeah.
I never got certified because I thought even if I am certified, I don't ever just want to go out with just one other person. Like I'm just too afraid.
No, I used to take groups out when I was the instructor.
Right.
But I like it better when I go with a buddy and I stay close to the instructor and I'm somewhere else.
Yeah, because the whole idea, it's just so vast.
I just went with Dave to Mexico on a little getaway and he doesn't like to dive. So I was like, I'm going to get up early and go diving. And I went to some place and it got in a little white pickup truck with just a guy and we went into the forest or whatever.
The outback
in Mexico. And so we went in 3 miles and there was a hole and a man sitting on a stump. And I was like, all right. And I checked out the equipment. It worked. And we went down and went into caves underground. I don't even know. Caves that were so small, I could barely clink. He had to push me down.
Who was with you?
A strange guy.
And Dave was not there.
No. And I was like, maybe I should have told him because this is one.
Yeah, I was going to say, this does not sound safe.
Well, I'm a risk taker, but...
Well, this is literally like if that guy wanted to kill you, it's like, but he's really lazy. He doesn't want to kill you and dig a grave. He's like, listen, come down into this cave.
I saw some beers on ice in his shop, and I thought, this guy does not want to die today.
Yeah, he's coming back for these beers.
He wants to come back and drink those beers.
Yeah, I could see that.
There was a dog there.
But still, now that you have a huge family, it's a little different, isn't it?
Well, yeah. I mean, since I have a huge family, the one thing I've given up...
Even off family. I didn't have to be huge.
You're just a kid, right?
Right.
Things change a lot.
Yeah.
You lose yourself? No.
Yeah. No. Well.
So I used to pretend I was a police officer when someone pissed me off, like somebody threw out trash. I was like, I'm an off-duty cop. Pick that up or I'm going to, you know, write you a ticket.
Wait, like a citizen's arrest without a uniform.
Right. That's how I could have a voice and not be afraid. I was like, I'm an off-duty police officer. One time I was at the fingernail salon and somebody came in to hold it up without a weapon. Just give me your fucking money. And they were yelling at the people. And I said, hey. I was like, stood up. I said, I'm an off-duty police officer. Back your ass up or we're going to have a problem. And he stared at me and I stared at him and I go, move it. And he left.
Oh my gosh.
And I sat down like right on.
Lee,
and I got free nails. And they were like, Lee, we didn't know you were police officer.
You are an actress.
Right? I was like.
It's all confidence,
no,
isn't
it? No, as soon as.
Commitment.
I have confidence in life. But as soon as you tell me my name's Karen and give me some words to say, I don't know who I am. I can't read them. I'm like. I like pizza too.
Yeah.
So you're saying if they wrote a scene where you had to say the exact words, I'm an off-duty police officer,
I would
work.
I would do it really bad.
So if I give you a piece of paper and I say I'm an off-duty police officer, just try to read that.
Okay. I'm an off-duty police officer.
Bang.
You're down. Right. Next.
Yeah. It's like and a weird robot.
Hey, you want to play some Shotgun Storyworthy?
More than anything.
Music can only mean one thing. It's time for Shotgun Storyworthy.
The game show where contestants spin the Storyworthy Wheel of Truth and tell a true one-minute story on the topic they land.
So everyone, say it with me.
Spin that wheel.
California. I'm from Kansas, and I moved out here because I'm from Kansas. And everyone says to me, why do you move to California? Is it because you wanted to be famous? No, but I thought I would just be discovered like people did back in the 40s at a bank machine, even though I wasn't a big, tall beauty. I don't know why. I just thought something would happen. But I moved here because I'm from Kansas, and I didn't fit in there. And I fit in here so much. And I've lived here like 20 years or almost as long as I've lived in Kansas. And just recently, I realized I just actually crossed over into living here longer. And so I used to always say, my home, where are you from? Kansas. Oh, my home is in Kansas. And I've just started claiming my home is in California.
That is a great story. And you know, your children are from California.
Yeah, first generation.
Isn't that exciting? And I think of my daughter. My daughter is from Southern California.
And where are you from?
Pittsburgh.
That's right.
And that's why I came here, because I was in Pittsburgh.
And it's just like not enough going on.
Well, I've been here for 15 years, and this is the longest. Well, unless I lived in Pittsburgh my first 21 years. So no, this isn't the longest.
You were with your first husband in Pittsburgh.
Correct, yeah.
And then moved out here a single hot gal with the most awesome legs in the whole wide world.
It's a little complicated, but something like that.
I like it less complicated.
But I didn't get here in the South Pacific.
I didn't get here till 31, though, actually. So I took a long way around. I was a flight attendant for about 7 years. So I did that in my 20s.
Did you make out with a ton of people on the airplane?
Yes, I did.
Did you have sex in the bathrooms?
Yes, I did.
I haven't done that. I feel so jealous right now.
Yeah, you could do that. It's not a big deal.
I know, but Dave won't.
It's uncomfortable.
He's like a super stand-up guy who's like, well, I would never do that.
You want to do the one that has a diaper deck, for sure. Because then you go in the bathroom and you can pull down that diaper deck, and that really helps.
Gives you a little leverage.
Well, you just jump up on there. It's much better than the sink.
You're so tiny to get up on a tiny table?
No, it's the diaper. It's like a diaper table in a restroom.
But that seems like it would hold one knee.
Well, it's more of a sitting situation, isn't it? So there's one person sitting and then the other standing.
Before I leave, I need a visual.
I could do that.
Yeah, we'll have to draw that out. By the way, well, we've met your husband, and he's so tall wide, I cannot imagine he even can go in the bathroom by himself on an airplane.
Yeah, he's not adventurous like that. He gets nervous and freaked out. And I would definitely want to have sex with him in a little porta potty.
I am so happy you guys are so in love. I think it's just beautiful. It's beautiful.
The core is love, and then there's layers of so many things, but it's so gosh darn hard. It's so hard to be married.
I know, but
it's so hard, but it's the best job. It's a job.
It is.
You have to work every day.
Right. Because there's different roles in the marriage. This person is doing this. This person's doing this.
There's so much.
But if you think about that he loves you so much.
That's what gets me through any pissed off stage.
Exactly.
Like, nobody's going to love me more than he loves me on the planet.
You can fuck up all you want because he's still going to love you.
Yes.
That is what I want.
And I would never cheat on him because I would never want to dishonor that heart that loves me more than anything in the world.
That's what I want. That's what a lot of women want.
I'm tempted to over there.
Joe Slepsky. She's looking at our producer.
Yeah, he's
He's wearing an X-Man t-shirt, and women cannot resist.
This is what women want. Women, they just want to be fucking loved and adored and in a consistent way that says to the woman, you can fuck up all you want and you're not perfect, but I'm still going to love you.
And it's about that knowing that and having the safe place. I really think you come together with somebody who's going to bring out your worst shit, because I think then you relive stuff from when you were young, but now you're an adult and you can heal and have a voice to it instead of just getting it thrown at you.
See, and what happens is sometimes in some marriages, not mine.
No,
but
you always fight. It brings out the worst.
Because let's just call it mine. No, but your partner that doesn't want to look at the shit from childhood, or doesn't want to look at the shit and where they got to why they are, where they are now and why that is. They take it defensively. They get angry. They think you're attacking them personally.
Yeah, right.
They don't want to work through the shit.
Triggering all their shit from childhood.
They don't want to hear that
but
shit.
But all you see is you're mad at the other person.
Yeah. And so they take it defensively. And then they're going to move on to the next person, do the same fucking thing, and then move on to the next person and do it again.
It doesn't end
because we all are full of shit. We all have shit. So who's are you going to accept, and who's going to accept yours?
And the person who triggers you is triggering your stuff. It's not about them. Yeah. So when I'm mad at Dave about something, it's like that's when I need to go, oh, what's going on inside me that I need to look at?
Yeah.
And I told him, I was like, let's try, even though it's hard in the moment, because we have, fights, and it's so stressful to our house with all those kids. But I say, let's look at getting mad at each other as a gift to get through our shit so we can truly be happy and be done with it.
Or pretend that you're friends first, you're friends.
We're in a safe place where we can deal with our shit.
I'm very impressed. And I do hope you get a show where you can do just what you're talking about. I mean, not just empowering women, thank but you. Maybe helping women who are going through this, like a yearning for a husband thing.
Yeah. And I wanted to say that that is my thing is like, I've had crazy stuff happen in my life where I'm realizing I love to talk and share about things that are uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. Like I have mental illness in my yeah. family
and pushing through it
and talking about it. Like it's, I hurt my elbow. Right. Cause that's, it's just a different part of life. And well, everyone's so shamed about
yeah.
the stuff familiar, and we're so alone.
With a mentally ill happy hour at all?
No, but it sounds awesome.
It's just another podcast, but this guy, he talks a lot about Paul Gilmartin. He talks a lot about very uncomfortable stuff, but that's when it gets interesting
yes.
because this is, it's normal. It's nothing, you know, it's
and
nothing.
That's the meat of our life. The rest of this foo-foo bullshit where everyone's like, how are you? Great. What'd you do? Who cares?
Yeah.
It's like the stuff that's heavy is where we should feel comfortable
wow.
talking over a cup of coffee. Yeah.
From your mouth to God's ears,
right,
Lee
Koechner.
Right,
you take that. You take that, God.
Ladies and gentlemen, you can find Lee Koechner at Lee Koechner. You know, that's the Twitter, Hannes.
At Lee Koechner,
that?
That's Koechner. Right.
At Lee Koechner. And
with
then
the
there's
app
Lee.
Thing.
There's yes. Lee Morgan Koechner. That's the one you find on the Facebook.
Morgan was my maiden name, by the way.
Okay.
I love
okay.
Morgan
we,
so
I never
much.
Got around to asking
I
Morgan,
named my
yes.
niece Morgan. I named that little girl, isn't and I named her Morgan. I love that name.
I didn't use it for any of my kids, but every time I thought about Morgan and Jorge.
Oh, how about that? Jorge. See
and
that Jorge
Sergio.
Reyes?
My husband's like Audrey, Margo, and Sergio. I was like,
Sergio sounds too much like a scent.
Right. So we went with Sergio.
folks, you can also find her at absolutely.com. Hannes, I want to say it one more time to you.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.com.
Right. So it's absolute and then L-I-E-G-H.
No, L-E-I-G-H.
Oh,
right.
But
exactly.
doesn't it roll off your tongue? Absolutely. Oh, absolutely.
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 But you got to make sure that people know that the Lee is not L-Y, it's the
right,
name.
Right, it's L-E-I-G-H. But every time I have conversations now, people are like, absolutely, seriously, nonstop. And I'm always like,
that's why
dot com,
it's your,
under
yeah.
my breath,
.com. Right,
Tourette's.
I know.
Or
if somebody
what was
says
your website
me,
that you refused to say the name of? Wait, you can
I was just going to say, if somebody says to me, that was a good story, I say, worthy.com.
Right.
Podcast.com.
Absolutely.com.
Worthypodcast.com.
Worthypodcast.com.
Yeah, you got to get the podcast in the .com.
Yeah, exactly. All right, you guys, we're going to wrap this up. I want to say thank you to Jorge Reyes. He is our sound engineer.
He's cute.
Yes.
He is cute. Also, would like to thank Joe Slepsky. He is our producer.
He's bald.
He's gorgeous.
He's a good-looking man.
And pantsless.
I'd also like to thank John Thomas Griffith. He is not here right now, but I am.
If he was, Lee would be
I would
hitting
thank
on him.
I'll thank him in yes. the morning. I'm playing tennis with him at 8 a.m.
Wow, maybe I'll show up for
really
that.
Is that what the kids are calling it nowadays?
I'd also like to thank
Match Point.
There. Our storyteller tonight, Lee Koechner. What a delight. Thank you so much.
Thank
really.
You for having
we
me.
We truly are so happy you came.
Thank you. I'm
thank
honored
yes,
to be
thank
here.
You very much. Thank
and
you,
on behalf Hannes. Of Hannes Finney, my dear co-host, thank you for Hannes.
I'm going to go home and bury my emotions.
Yeah,
this has
I do.
Been very emotional for me. I need to
pull your mouth down and just...
And
what's happening?
I gotta do it again.
Something weird's happening there.
And on behalf of you, Hannes Finney, my dear co-host, my
thank
name
you.
Is.
I'm going home. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm trying to get my joke in. All right, never mind. It's fine.
And on behalf of you,
it's okay. It's all right. Don't worry about it.
And on behalf of you, Hannes Finney, my dear co-host, my name is Christine Blackburn, saying, "Make it a story-worthy week."
Thanks for joining us on the Storyworthy Podcast. We'll be back next week with all new stories. Subscribe to Storyworthy on iTunes and visit the Storyworthy website at storyworthypodcast.com.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.